You are listening to Ismail Hassan. I am the founder and head coach of Aikid of London. Welcome to the Aikid of London discussion series. Today's chat is with Kathy Humphries and Ollie Colchina. And the subject of discussion is women in Aikido and teaching. Hello, guys. Hello, girls. How are you today?
Good. Very good. Thank you.
Hello. Very good.
Hi, Kathy. Can you introduce yourself, please? And just a little bit of your background for our audience.
Sure. I'm Kathy Humphries, and I'm a musician. I'm a singer-songwriter. And I teach for a music service, so I teach whole school music in different schools, and I run a choir. And I've been, well, before lockdown, I've been training at Aikido of London for just over a year. Yeah, that's me.
That's pretty good. And Olya, if you can introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Olya Kolchina. I'm originally from Belarus. And I moved to the UK about 12 years ago. I'm a researcher in artificial intelligence, and I started my Aikido practice, I think it was 2003, so almost 17 years now. There were years when I had to reduce the amount of practice for various reasons, but overall it was quite consistent. And I've been practicing with Ismail Hassan, I think for over 10 years now. It's been a great journey.
Wow. It's 10 years. It's been that long, hey? It's yeah, time flies. That's great. And our subject today is about women in training and as teaching. As you teach, of course. You teach at my dojo. And and you've taught at university Central University. St. Martin's, the Arts London.
University of Arts, yes.
It's for 2 years or 3 years, I think.
Has been 3 years, actually.
3 years, and now she's teaching in Archway in North London. It's a great question, and it's something that's been in and out of my radar and training radar for most places for a long time now, and it brings to mind to me my own experience, and if I speak of the dojo, which Aikido of London itself, where the balance is, I think, pretty healthy, and until recently, when this lockdown began, the female side was growing very strongly, and it was something which I was very pleased with, and it's interesting. I never set out that is what I wanted. I wanted a balance, but it was never my intention to say, I need a couple of those and a couple of these and a couple of other kinds to create that balance. It happened on its own, and. I think if your intention is to treat people fairly and treat them with respect, and they, of course it has to be reciprocal, whether you're male, female, or otherwise. If you don't take the training seriously enough, and I don't mean like super strict or anything, but openness and willingness to learn and listen to the advice given to you and work from there, just like everybody else. And if everyone is doing that, then it happens naturally, and also I think it reflects society. Society is not predominantly male, even though some of us guys do like to think that that's the way it is, but it's not, and it never has been. Mm. And women play their part, and we have to be realistic and remind ourselves that Aikido, like all Japanese Budo and martial arts in as a whole, for the best part, were invented by men for men, and women have had their areas, but if you go back 50 years, let alone a century or two centuries in Japan, women's role was not a major part, but we're in the modern era, and we have been for a while, and I think women bring their own qualities to it. As individuals, we bring our own qualities to it, so in a sense, we don't need to necessarily get into gender or anything else. It is the individual that arrives, and what they bring is primacy in all this, and I'm very happy for that, and I hope this continues, which I'm very confident that it will. And that's my immediate thoughts about the recent history of my own experience. And you and both of you have obviously played a part in that, Olya, because you've been around with me for quite a while now, and you've taught at the dojo and in seminars as well now. And Kathy, because you've obviously have a beginner's perspective. I mean, please comment. How do you feel about it, the dojo, before we go to the broader area of it? Whoever wants to start.
I was just going to say, actually, Ollie, you probably should go first because, I don't really have anything to compare it to, because I've only ever trained at Aikido of London, so I'd be curious to hear what your perspective is.
Sure. So from my perspective, I have never perceived any difference between the male and females in the dojo. But looking backwards, and I think the first reflection I made was about 2 or 3 years ago on my personal training, I realized the only distinction which was there was in my own mind. So it wasn't really present in the dojo, but I was reflecting on myself, how I think about it. And I realized that when I started practicing Aikido, which was back in Belarus, and it was predominantly male group, there were a few women. The way I took training, I felt I wanted to be strong as all the guys around me. And I think I was thinking that I want to be equal to them, and that when we practice, there is no distinction in how it feels when the attack is being executed by a male or female. So at the moment when I reflected on this, I realized that actually I'm not probably using my potential in a way. What can I bring as a female to the dojo? Maybe in some aspects being more soft or fluid, because I'm actually trying to be as men around me and the way I perceive their technique. So this was the first moment that I just decided I will be who I am. I am a female. I might have less muscle power, so I need to find the strengths within. And I think that also opened a new chapter in my training, and it became much more enjoyable as well.
That's interesting that you say that, because guys tend to be strength based from the outset, and the quality that women bring into training is usually, not everyone, but usually they bring a level of sensitivity, which is such a big part of quality martial arts. You'll see that in kendo and in iaido, and you'll see that in a lot of practice. That the strength and the sensitivity are not exclusive. It's not that you have one and not the other. It's how that strength is used. And so and strong women, strong physical women, as well as strong character, is also a part of it. And to bring those qualities out is very important. And us guys, we kind of charge in. We are, you know, especially if you're strong and powerful, and maybe you're used to getting your way because of that. And then you come across somebody who's stronger or cleverer than you are. Then you have to start getting smart in training, but it goes beyond that. It's not just about being smart. It's also about having that fine level of movement, of connection and touch, and once more, I think women generally bring that in and more effectively than the men. So the men can learn a lot from that. And once more, this is a generality. And also, men have got to learn to deal with women, and you can't just smash and break things. And women have got to deal with the guys and find out how to make something work. And it's not a competition. If you've got a tiny 16-year-old girl, and you've got a 100-kilo muscular, almost like a power lifter guy, it's not rocket science that one is physically going to dominate the other. But is that what this is all about? And then we have to have weight divisions, and you separate it. And it's silly, because we can learn so much from each other. And you can get a girl who mentally is tougher, stronger, sharper, has got that quality about them, and they have to unify that with the body and let the body behave in that way. And if we're all sincere in our training, especially if you're a mature and experienced teacher, you encourage that. You bring that out without being wishy-washy, without being namby-pamby. Is that a bit of an old-fashioned term there? In other words, we don't want to be fluffy. We don't want to be casual or soft, but we don't want to be hardened and just sort of breaking things up, really. So I've seen that change in yourself, for example, Olya, and now Kathy, you're something that you've already begun to witness. And Kathy, go ahead, your own thoughts on as brief as it may be, and you've been to a few seminars as well now, and you've had to travel.
Yeah,
so you've seen
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when I say I have I was talking, you were mentioning our dojo and how it's very balanced, which it is, and I say I have nothing to compare it to, but actually that's right. I have been to other seminars, and I've been to Hombu in Japan, and in terms of other seminars, it was quite eye-opening in many ways. But I think one of the things, aside from seeing some excellent teachers, and you learn something from everybody that you train with, but one of the things I feel is quite lucky, very lucky, in fact, that we train where we do, because I don't get the sense that it's necessarily the same elsewhere. I've definitely had different experiences outside of our dojo, which I don't know. It's sometimes hard to distinguish between whether these experiences are because I'm a beginner or because I'm a woman, or both. Okay. It's hard to tell sometimes. It is probably
a little bit of both, I imagine, and so if you're doing something wrong, are you being corrected, or is someone has already decided, because you're a girl, that they're gonna just exert their authority, and they can do it possibly physically, but it's more of a reflection of the mentality rather than whether it's a mistake or not. Sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the telling thing is when you have a partner who's by no means your senior, yet somehow you'd be given some advice, or, you know, however well-meaning it may be. But after a while, I can give you examples.
I think Kathy, you have a very good example. Yes, it will be
go for it, Kathy.
Which is the
is it a dreaded experience?
There was one time I was training. I think so often at seminars when I'm training with a man, they won't really throw you. I'll be placed very, very gently onto the floor, which, you know, you have to be careful if you don't know somebody, obviously. But I think from what I've gathered from training with different people is that you can tell when someone is, when you can tell you've got a good partner, when they can quite quickly get a feel for how far they can push you. Mm-hmm. And how much you can take without sort of being clouded by any preconceptions. And I think if you're training with someone who's continuously treating you very, very gently for, you know, you can't
Do you think it could be many things? It could be patronizing. It could be scared of getting carried away, and that men are physically generally stronger. Or dismissive, just not particularly valuing your side of things.
Well, this particular one particular incident I can think of, I got so frustrated. I eventually said to him, "You can, you can throw me a bit harder than that.
That's good
It's
for you.
okay." And he said, he said, he said, "Oh, I can't do that. You're too
Oh, okay,
pretty."
it's pathetic then. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
Yeah,
kind of
not being
that's
not taking it
frustrating. My
seriously.
heart started.
Yeah. And Olya, what about yourself? I mean, you've got a lot more experience and you've traveled a lot, plus you've started in Belarus, as you said. So you've already mentioned about wanting to be stronger, which is completely natural, and I think completely. Hey, listen, guys want to be stronger, and I don't believe in this thing of one must use that as little strength as possible. Seniors should use as little strength as possible, or it's not in so much as little strength as possible, is how you use that strength. To do a martial art and think that strength has nothing to do with it is idiotic and is a sign of ignorance. It's your conditioning, your the muscularity of your body is a very big part of it, especially when you're young and you're cultivating yourself. But in the end, it evolves from that. So you have the physical part, the fitness, the flexibility, the strength, the conditioning, but also the quality of touch and timing, suppleness, and I mean mental as well as physical suppleness. So I've often confused people, and you have to be stronger, you have to be softer. Which one is it? And it's like, and there is no answer. These coexist and they shift. And when do you retreat? When do you enter? When do you go fast? When do you go slow? And these are intuitive. Ultimately, they cannot be super thinking. Like you're not going to. It's far too much to expect of someone until they're basic Aikido conditioning is getting established. And but what do you think, Olya, over the years, in your experience, what do you think of how things have changed, not just for yourself, but for looking at other women and in the relationship to overall training? What's your perception and opinion on this?
I think also I've been quite lucky that in my original dojo, when I started training and I was a student at university and then joining your dojo, I've been always challenged to the maximum of my potential. Nobody ever treated me as you, Kathy, described that you're too soft, for example. So even starting as a student, I was constantly encouraged. So I was being taken to the maximum. And I remember there were specific friends and my seniors who were saying, "Come on, Ola, you can do it. Come on, keep going." It was challenging. And through that, definitely I have grown. And then just reflecting also on the seminars with people who are new to train with. I think there is this moment when you try to train and you don't know about the other person, so you're being careful, as you say. But sometimes there are different concepts that are coming in, as you say, someone perceiving you as a woman and being weak. But what I've done in those cases, I had to go stronger, actually, to show the man that, well, I can do it, I can take it. So normally after a few runs, we would establish the training that is good for both of us. So actually, I found myself that I had to
That's
throw
very good
harder.
because I tried that as well.
Oh, did it work, Kathy?
No.
Still junior, that's why. It's
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think that's also a part of it, if I'm honest. That sometimes, there is a primal side to all this as well. I call it primitive. That sometimes you have to establish your lines, and it's like, well, if you think you're going to get away with doing that, well, I can do a couple of things as well. We have to establish a base for where we can train. I think is a little naive sometimes, where regardless of gender or any, or it's unrelated, in fact, that you walk in and that you everyone's going to get on lovey-dovey, that everyone's going to be all harmonious and happy and lovely. It's fake. It's pretending. It's not. It's it means you're not really engaging, and sometimes you've got to get stuck in a little bit, and you'll find that it's more than physical. It's the personalities that are now coming into it, regardless of who the stronger is. But once you pushed it in a certain way, then it's like you establish something, and then maybe the training starts. Then you start work. You're learning how to work with each other rather than just trying to dominate or overwhelm or. And sometimes feel like you're being abused. In fact, that you're getting knocked around, and unfortunately, that does happen. But you know, you get up and you become firmer, and you start working things out. But in a good place, the idea is to help create rather than break things up. Anyone can break things. It takes a lot more ability and a conscious effort to. Takes something and be creative with it and evolve. So I think these are things that are normal challenges. I'd like to ask you, actually, both of you, if a young woman in particular, a teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, what would you say to them? How would you sell it, so to speak? How would you tell them how wonderful this is? That this is something that you will get a lot out of, and it'll be good for you. How would you approach that?
Personally, I'm very new to Aikido. I started. I've been doing it just over a year, as I said, and I can't tell you exactly what it is that made me keep going in the first place, but something did, and I think certainly fitness. I actually thought I was quite fit until I started doing Aikido, and because I was doing a lot of running, and I thought that my running would help my Aikido, but funnily enough, it was actually the other way around. And I became a faster runner, you know, beating my personal bests and things after starting Aikido. I think it kind of it builds a kind of stamina in you that I can't really compare to anything else. And I think the fact that, as you said, Aikido isn't about necessarily about how big and strong you are. I mean, one of the best training sessions I can think of was in Japan when I was training with this massive Japanese guy who was well over 6 foot, very, very broad. And the great thing about it is, even though he was much, much bigger than me, I mean, it was great because he didn't do me any favors, you know, he didn't move unless I moved him. So, you know, you have to find a way to take someone's balance without muscling your way through. So, you know, it's tough, but it's not macho.
Something you said there, Kathy, that you have to take their balance without muscling in, which is what Aikido is anyway. So it's not a female thing. It's not a gender thing. That is what the principle is. That how do you do this? And bearing in mind that we don't all have the same capabilities, physical and otherwise. So, and you said something that's very interesting as a beginner. That is the correct way I would say for thinking, which is how. You know, he wasn't giving you a break, but he's also, you know, allowing you to find something that would work. You're going to have to make it work in this case without getting all into wrestling type of territory. And that how is what it is. It's like that's the science, that's the art, and so you have to feel things. You have to feel your way through things and how your body works and how other people's bodies work. And the more you understand that, the more that part comes along. Which is why sometimes, and I'm sure both of you have experienced this, and as we all do. You do something and you've taken someone's, not only have you taken their balance, but Freudian slip there, but you've taken them by surprise that they didn't expect it. And they sometimes, you know, depends on the ego, but they look up and wow. But other times they look up and not only how did that happen, they're a bit distraught. It's like they don't like the fact that this beginner, he suddenly figured something out and was able to do something on them, because that's what happens also with experience. You expect not to maybe get handled by someone junior to you, which is not right. You in order to keep your own training going, you continue until you get to a certain point, maybe like myself, where I teach and I don't take ukemi in that kind of way. But if I was training with you guys, I would. That part has never changed. And that's what gets lost in translation with a lot of this. But as a beginner, if you've had that experience, it's very good. And I would commend someone for you. But Olya, what about yourself? Someone coming along, a 12, 13, 14-year-old, and they're looking for something. And how would you convince them in a way, it's a strange question, because really you shouldn't convince anybody of anything. It's like they see it and they like it, but how would you encourage them? Maybe that's a better a better way of putting it. Would you do it verbally, or would you just do it through training with them and encourage them through the quality of your aikido and helping that way? What do you think?
So as you said, it is not possible to convince someone unless they make a choice. So yes. If this 12 or 13 years old already at least expresses interest to explore something about themselves and their own body, that's already a great start, because you have something to work with. So if they're willing to come to the dojo to try, because as you said, they have to try it. No words can explain what they might experience, and it is true about any sport. So if they have interest to, maybe it's just fitness, to improve their fitness or to learn something new, and they come to the dojo, for me being a teacher and also reflecting on my own journey, I'm trying to show them the possibilities of their own body and freeing the energy, becoming more free within themselves. It's interesting to observe how these teenagers, when they first come in, and let's say if they stick to it and after 1 year, how their personality is changing, because they become more confident. Some kind of freedom is being expressed through them. So if in the first classes we succeed in showing to them that there's so much to learn about our own body, about how it works, the dynamics, about how it works in relation to other people through the movement. At least for me, I was hooked on that, because I saw the limitations and that it's my own vehicle that I carry along all my life, but I haven't actually learned how to use it properly. There are so many dimensions in how this can be explored. So I think it starts with this, just trying to understand the body, to find the freedom within the body, but then it connects to many other aspects like mind-body connection. I think it comes later.
How do you feel in terms of the broader sense that you know, things have moved on? Society is very different today than it was when I was young, let alone before that, and women and their presence in sport, for example, is much stronger. You've got fantastic, fabulous athletes in the Olympics. There's professional football teams now with women that are very competent. In tennis is incredible, the ability there. So obviously it's changed. And the other one is boxing and MMA. Some of the most famous MMA, for example, is Ronda Rousey. I was watching a documentary on her quite recently, and it's just interesting. Some of the coaches are saying she approaches or thinks like a man when it comes to the way she trains, and I wonder if by that they mean that if you've got a strong martial sense, that tends to be a masculine quality, a yang versus a yin balance, and yet she's a very attractive, she's a young, very attractive person, so her appearance contradicted her behavior in the ring, but obviously that's a very famous example, but society's changed, and especially us in London, where you've got a whole range of people from all sorts of backgrounds all over the world, and those cultures all have different ideas of a man's role or a woman's role. So in the broader sense, you mentioned freedom, for example, but that applies to men and women. Men might think that they're free because they can express themselves physical power, but if this discovery, as you said, has a mind, body, spirit, that means the character, the personality, and if it's a man or if it's a woman, the female energy is expressed through that Aikido. And so there's always a danger that if you go purely on the muscular level, then you push very, very hard that way, and there is, there's a part of it that is like that. There's no escaping that, as I've already mentioned. But if you stay exclusively like that, there's the chance you lose your identity, in yourself, that you become like the people around you, and rather than becoming who you actually are. And that applies for men and women equally, I would say. But from the society point of view as well, I mean, Kathy, what do you reckon on that one? It's a big one, isn't it? So it's far-reaching.
Yes.
I don't know if there's an answer, but I suppose what I'm going on about is, what do people aspire to? What do they look for, and what can Aikido offer a young woman that is back to the first point, beneficial to them? That is maybe a little bit different from going elsewhere to other activities.
So. I mentioned fitness before, and I think I think what you will get from it is possibly something that's just is quite personal to you, and can be quite different for different people. I'm trying to put my finger on what it is.
What I would say is, I teach you, obviously. I'm your coach. Mm. I'm your instructor. Mm. And from the very moment you arrived, it's a very interesting observation. Is that it speaks to you. You're trying to nail something that is almost impossible to put into words. We probably can't, but we'll do our best. There was a very natural, organic response in the way you did things, and that's always a telltale sign that someone's wiring the mental, physical relationship, and the spirit is something else, but the three do come together. But there's this response that you had that was quite something, and I've also seen it, how it can potentially get ruined, where people don't recognize that I've been doing this a long time. I was well coached myself, and so I spotted a mile off, and you've had that, and that's the side of you that needs to get cultivated, because that's you at your best, really, where you're in your skin, possibly in your way, the in a way there's not too much thinking going on. The mind body is just taking
well
over.
Yeah.
And you're in your groove, Kathy. That's what happens.
I think the thing that I like the most well, I don't know, I might change my mind tomorrow, but the thing that I like the most is the fact that when I'm training, when I'm doing Aikido, I'm only doing Aikido. Nothing else is in my mind. I'm not thinking about anything. And that's never changed.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what kind of day I've had, what kind of week I've had. That has never changed. Every single session I turn up to, somehow everything else goes away.
And that's got nothing to do with the fact that you're a woman. It's that's just your that's your inherent quality. And and Olya, you know, I'm kind of patting you guys on the head a little bit, but Olya, your own strong point there was that physicality that you brought in, which was actually fantastic. It may have sounded the criticism you'd often get, or it may sound like, what are you doing, you know, but it didn't quite mean that. What it meant was, it's not just that, it's also something else. And and to try to get that side of it, where you get that something richer, isn't it, when you discover something that way. And and maybe I was watching a clip on Instagram, a young woman whose name I can't remember, she's I saw her in a seminar about 5 years ago. I think she came to Janet Cliff's seminar near the Telecom Tower in University College London. And yes, must be about 5 years now, maybe six. And she's now working on weights. She's now working on building her body. And I was looking at it, and I wasn't judging, because I thought, this is contrary to what Aikido is, whether you're a guy or a girl. But again, I thought, well, you know what? It's easy for you to say. I'm not exactly delicate. You know, I've got in my youth, I was very small, very slim, but I was all very strong for my size. And so it's easy for me to say that. Yes, you may have had those other qualities tucked away in inside, but overtly, anyone would just see someone who's very determined, very, very intense, very strong, and very fast, and endurance was there. But it was obviously, you don't push yourself that way, and if that's all it was, I knew there was something else, and that's difficult. You're letting that side takes a little time before it begins to work its way through, as we get older, maybe as we mature. So there has to be an appeal when we're younger, and that physical expression is a part of it. I mean, what do you do? Do I tell you, Olya, go away, go to a judo, that's fair, go to a gym and do some weights and blah, 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 blah. And in a couple of years' time, when you've got that off your chest, come back, and then now you're ready for a finer, a more sophisticated kind of training. No, we have to do that. So the young woman is, I can understand it, wanting to get her legs stronger, and maybe there's an aesthetic side that maybe likes her body when it looks sort of developed and muscular to a point. So that's the reality, that's the society that we're in. And when it's taken to an extreme, is when the problem is there. One of the guys from Brazil that is in sports science, and he knows more about the body than most people, and yet for Aikido his body's very confused at times. And and not because he doesn't want to, but because he's trying to understand that it has become a challenge. But he started to, and then started to do it very well. But you look at the body, and if you like weightlifting and power building, it's upside down to what we're doing. We're gravity based. We want to understand how weight drops. And again, I think women have got an advantage in this, because they don't usually approach it with that strength. Exclusively strength based, they are well aware of gravity. When they hit that floor, they in a way, there's not much choice. So you have to figure out things out a lot earlier. But yourself, Olya, is the strength was never the issue with that stuff, and you should, and anyone in your situation should never allow themselves to be told that it's not right. What they should be told is, on its own, just that on its own is not enough. This is not a one-dimensional, you're not a one-dimensional human being, and you're not doing a one-dimensional training system. And the opening up and realizing that there's so much nuance and subtlety and focus, and yet without losing the vitality. You want to be effective, and most people want to be effective when they're training. It's part of it because there's various reasons for it. It's a martial art, but also on the receiving end, when you're getting thrown, and it's thrown with such a high quality of technique, the thrill, the satisfaction of just that experience is fantastic. That's you can't explain it. You have to be in that moment when you're surfing a wave of a technique and you're hungry. You want more of that as you get back up. While you're doing that, build up your accumulate that body of knowledge as you're going along. Don't just go for the fix. Go enjoy the fix, but at the same time you gather the stuff, and little by little the body changes, the mind changes. The mind changes the body changes the mind, and you need your spirit. That's the glue, in a sense, that brings it all together. And so, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm patting on the head a bit, but I should do, because I've seen this go over many years, and when people get stuck, and especially for life, your life outside of classes is demanding and challenging, or we're going through a sticky patch. It can get in the way sometimes, or block your progress. You get stuck, and Kathy, it may be that may happen to you later on, because you are new, aren't you? It's one day you'll walk and on, and you're not there, and something is, you bought something else there, but it may not happen either. It's not a certainty, but I'm just from experience, it may yet happen, but
I mean, so far not in my mind, but I think you can carry things in your body from your day or from your week. You can carry it onto the mat that way. Certainly.
Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, no, I was just thinking about Olya and how great it is for me as a beginner. I remember very clearly the first time I trained with Olya. Because I think it was my third lesson or something. I wasn't even wearing a gi yet, and you know, we were doing very, very, very basic stuff. You know, I just started, but it was just really great to be able to train with a woman that was clearly very strong. And you know, that was just at the start. But as the year went on, it's definitely a very positive thing, I think, that we've got, you know, good women in the dojo.
And you've also experienced, was it in Bulgaria? You got to see Janet Clift?
I've never actually seen her train. But I did do a bit of weapons training with her, which was great. But I am hoping to see her
at some point. Jenny, another senior female teacher, Jenny Flower. Not so long ago, I think.
Yes. We went to a seminar of hers a few weeks back, which was, it was great. It was very, very interesting, I think. Yeah.
And that's very good. And in terms of teaching Olya, how are you finding that as a woman in this case? Do you think there's things that you bring in that says that I don't bring in, or some of the guys who teach don't necessarily bring in, or maybe the emphasis is a little different?
Oh, actually, I have never thought about this, so it's an interesting question. I guess when I started, it was probably a bit worrying for me that in the dojo there were no other female teachers. So I was probably a bit concerned how I will be received compared to you, compared to male teachers. But again, I had to do my own work and focus on what I can do without just getting too much into thinking about it. I do
You became that person.
Yes.
Which is so you carry the honor of being the first woman teacher, and you're doing well. Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
So probably one aspect that now I thought of is paying attention to the students and to where they are in terms of their practice, their strengths and weaknesses, and trying to help each individually on their journey, because some of the students, they might require probably quite a bit of a push, while others needs to be left alone. So probably the sensitivity in terms of what each of them requires, this is something that I can bring. I don't know, it's probably worth asking the students, but it's just the initial thought that I have now. But I never thought about it before, so it's a bit difficult to answer straight away.
It's maybe a question that needs a little bit of thinking
Yes.
that you don't have the time to, you don't have the time to do
Yes.
right now. And what about for the future? How do you see yourself, and how do you see the classes and the role of women evolving? I find it's a strange question yet again, because probably very similar to the to both of you. I've never separated the two. I've never never created an atmosphere where that is the case, and so there's something very natural there. But there's never been this inclination of, say, having an exclusive women's class. Not that I'm against it, but in asking some of the women at the dojo, they many of them didn't like the idea. They liked the idea of women developing and becoming teachers, but and in, being encouraged, but not separate from the overall classes. And which I found that very promising and very encouraging, because some I understand why a platform for women only is maybe gives women a chance to work things out without the guys breathing down their neck. But I think it also it I think takes away from the overall thing, that the idea is that everybody should be striving to work with each other. And like I said, not you've been there. It needn't be lovey-dovey. It needn't be enemies, but it needn't be roses either. That there's a seriousness and yet and an enjoyment that are not exclusive to each other. That you love do it seriously, and love doing it seriously. And whether you're male or female should work, and it's good for the guys to develop more and more of quality of touch. And I think that's my own personal perspective, obviously. And I see that in you and the others. And so, I mean, would you think that a women's only class or a seminar, for example, would be a positive thing, or or an assistant? Do you have any personal views on this?
I'm personally quite strongly against this idea, because that creates another level of separation and actually highlighting that there are differences. I think we're very lucky in our dojo that we have the balance in numbers. So the balance is there. There is no need to separate it. Maybe if we had the majority of male and just a few female, and as you say, they needed to experience the practice without the pressure from the male part, but we don't have this. We have the balance.
I also kind of I think I agree with you, Olya. I hadn't thought about it before, actually, about the idea of a woman's class. But if you think, would it be beneficial if there was a men's only class?
Good question.
Perhaps the answer is the
Well, that's quite funny, because when I was in the US, and the feminist movement is very is very strong there. Some of the women argued, "What? Why do you want a men's only class for? It's almost exclusively men anyway." It's like you already got your things. These women trying to make their presence felt, and again, I was sympathetic. I may not necessarily agree with the approach or the method, but I could understand it, because if you're way down at the bottom in terms of numbers and being taken seriously, and then you've got this very dominant presence of men, then. Yeah, you can see why, and there's a bit of catch up to do here. What do they call that? It's something about favorable in the in a workplace where you bring to bring the balance in there. It can create a negativity, and I agree with Olya that you're acknowledging a separation that you're accentuating it rather than helping to create a bridge where, you know, a respectable way of doing things.
I'm also thinking about the women in our dojo, and I think that we're all so different as well, and I think that the men are different from each other as also. So women are different from each other. You have some very small women, you have some very strong big women. So, you know, I think it's great to be able to learn to train with everybody.
As your instructor again, and with many years of experience here, there's another observation that I could point out again with the differences. I don't know if it's cultural. I don't know if it's a gender feature. I really have no idea. But the women generally tend to be more present. When they come, they're here. They don't necessarily are bringing some other aspect to it. This is not like all the time. As a general rule, that they, when they're there, they're there, and they're so they're a little bit more focused that way. And the guys may take a little bit more time to switch onto it. So that's part one. Part two, if we can bypass the muscle, and we've got strong women, as you said, physical and otherwise, but the mental strength. Women tend to be stronger, I think, in certain ways. The mental focus is there. Sometimes I think, crikey, if that particular individual, for example, that woman with that mental character and strength and that spirit, if they had the physical tools of that guy or that guy, then look out. You've got a handful there, but you know, no one gets the whole thing, I guess. But from my point of view, I've noticed that a lot, and I think it's we all bring different things to it, and I don't necessarily think gender is a part of that, but it's not the only thing. It's we are all different, like you said, and I think that's what's important. It's so easy to standardize it and pretend that this is democracy. That we've evened it out, and you can't do this so to accommodate women, and you can't do that to accommodate women who are maybe not as strong. And then when does that stop? When do you, you know, you can't do this, but we allowed that, and then we have to take this out of the not in the curriculum, and then you create a situation where the vitality is gone. You've made it mediocrity is what I would say. And whereas, look, this thing is a challenge, and it's a bigger challenge than the most things that you'll come across, and to just take a little nibble out of it along the way, you know, maybe hopefully more than that, but just to whatever background you're from, to be if we are all small fish in a big tank, is better than being the big fish in the small tank. I guess that's the and a huge tank is this training that we do. And I hope that doesn't sound exaggerated or a little over the top, but I think we should close, guys. I think we've covered quite a bit of track there. Anything you want to say for the end?
Just really, I mean, it's a massive topic, really, isn't it? And I think I just would like to reiterate really that my experiences in our dojo have been extremely positive. Sexism, whatever, exists everywhere, really. But definitely, I love training at Aikido of London, and it's just basically been positive for me, and being able to train with very good women and men for that matter. So yeah.
I absolutely agree with Kathy. Actually, I have never thought even so deep as we discussed today about the topic, because I have never experienced the differences in terms of training within the dojo. And just probably to summarize, there is yin and yang in each of us. So as women, we would imagine that it's easier for us to find this yin expression in Aikido, but it's not necessarily true. And for some women, it could be the yang side. I found it challenging discovering yin as well. And it's finding the balance between both. And it's just the challenge for every individual, regardless of the gender.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic observation. And discovery. I think you're spot on with that one. I'd like to thank both of you for our long distance conversation. I hope you enjoyed it, and look forward to seeing you in person as soon as time allows, and hopefully soon. So thank you,
and
goodbye.
Bye bye.
Bye.